All right, this is our seventh week and final week of our sermon series on Remember Whose You Are. And this week we'll be tackling Jesus is the peace of the world. See, this week, as we lean into this subject matter, I purposely saved this part of the sermon series for this day, particularly because we're coming up upon and on that Christmas day, which we all know to be special. We all know to be exciting. We're all super looking forward to it. But I also know that we're heading into family gatherings, relatives, relationships. Sometimes they don't feel very peaceful. There's also probably many situations that this may be the last time that you've seen some of the family members. And maybe even during COVID time, during 2020, it's a good chance that you haven't seen them all year. So I thought peace would be a wonderful, wonderful time of this season to be discussing and talking about. So as we look at this, maybe this Christmas season, you might be feeling the absence of a loved one. Maybe this week, this year was a tough year because you lost someone you love dearly, or you're remembering someone that lost someone else. I think we're coming to an end of a very difficult year for all of us. I don't believe any of us are really exempt from the difficultness that happened this year. But that does not mean it has to define our year, as we're going to find out today and whatever we talk about when it comes to peace. So as we look at talking about peace this week, we have to rest and understand that it comes from more than just our worldly stuff, that it comes from more than just all we get out of this world. You see, it comes from Jesus. And really, he is in control of all things. But we fail to realize that sometimes. And honestly, we fail to even understand that sometimes. So we let our burdens just burden us. And it's worldly-like. Those burdens that the world has for us, we fail to lay at his feet. We fail to realize the importance of putting it at his feet. And even during this season of Christmas, and remember his birth, we fail to realize how important he is in our life. And so as we discuss this idea of peace, and we look at how Jesus is the peace of the world, I hope we remember that today. So today, if you want to turn up your Bibles, actually not if you want to, will you turn up your Bibles to John chapter 14? This will be our base scripture for the day, and we'll start from there. John chapter 14, verse 25. John chapter 14, verse 25 through 27. I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name, will teach you all the things and remind you of everything I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. See, John 14, 27 is actually a very quoted piece of scripture. I'm sure we've all read it or heard it or probably quoted ourselves many a times in life. But as I process this piece of scripture and what it meant in this season, in this time, in this place, it almost seems somewhat odd that Jesus would use these words of peace. He says he's going to give us peace. Give the disciples peace. That it's a gift. And then he says it's his peace. Now, we all know that to be true. We've heard those words many a times. But one of the most important pieces that is somewhat odd, if you don't understand this piece of scripture, is that it says it's different from this world. You see, because most things, when we talk about peace or getting peace, we reference worldly things. We reference the ideas of what the world brings to us or gives to us. See, that's what we're going to be talking about today. See, we all have a desire for peace. We all have a strong desire for peace. We all talk about peace all the time. Peace in the Middle East. Peace in our communities. Peace in our country. Peace in our election process. We all want peace, but what we want is everything just to be okay. That is a difference between worldly peace and godly peace. Because what kind of peace can that really give us? Peace is not the absence of trouble. That's what we're misunderstanding. We think that everything has to be perfect. All trouble has to be done. There can be no disagreements to have peace. But that is not actually peace at all. It is not the absence of trouble or difficulties. It can't be. We're going to talk about it here in a few minutes, but there's so much more to peace than just the absence of trouble as we see it. See, a lot of times we think of peace and we think of, you know, it's that November, it's cold, men are outside, surrounded by woods, something in tow, and we see just we hear the whispering of just a little bit of leaves moving, and we know that it's a deer. See, in that calming moment is what men sometimes think as peace. Or ladies, you know, you're sitting out, you're looking upon this beautiful waterfall and no one's around. It's just you. The phrase, surrender to me now, comes to mind. When you think of that as peace. See, that's not peace. That might be serenity moment. That might be calmness for you. That might be your happy place, but that is not peace. But that is how the world would define peace, right? The world would define those moments as peace. Doing yoga, doing Tai Chi, doing those peaceful things for you. But that is not peace. Remember, peace is not the absence of noise. It's not the absence of trouble. It's not the absence of your problems. It's not the absence of your worries. Because you, my friends, are human beings. You are humans in this world. And all those things are realities. That you will have troubles, you will have problems, you will have this sound and noise around you. But if you actually look at verse 27 again, it says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful." And see, that launches us truly into our sermon today. And I can't think of a better way to talk about peace than our first slide of prayer. When we think about peace, prayer is sometimes how we get there. There's not a better way to really think about that. There's not a better way to describe prayer than it is something that does bring peace. Only Jesus can bring us true peace. See, in this verse, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you." Well, then, that makes him the source of peace. Jesus says, "My peace I give you," which means that he's the giver of peace. So if Jesus is the source, he is the giver. It's important to understand that it's not as the world gives it. But we always think in worldly terms when we think of peace. See, if he's the source, if he is the one, if he is the only way he can give it, then you, without a doubt, can know that peace only means that can be given by Jesus. And if we boil it down in simple terms, I want you to understand this phrase very well. Peace has nothing to do with you. Peace has nothing to do with your surroundings or your circumstances. Peace has nothing to do with what is happening in our world today. The peace that Jesus gifts you is true peace. It is one that surpasses every thought. Every thought. Which is referenced to Philippians 4:7, in case you were wondering. Now, some of your translations would say 4:7 would say, you know, surpasses all understanding, which I really like that rendering of it. Because you can't imagine or understand truly what peace is without reflecting first on Jesus, and then you still don't come to a complete understanding of what it means to have peace. It's past our understanding. It's past our thought process. It's past all that we can understand in this life. So what does that really mean? If it's past our understanding, if it's past our thought patterns, if we can't understand what it means, then start with this. Good chance that all of us are worried in some way. There's a fairly good chance, and I mean just maybe, that we all have a little anxiety going on. There's probably a really good chance that some of you going into this season are feeling a little disturbed on the inside. That you need peace because depression has set in. Thinking about either being alone, isolated from your family, and maybe that isolation is caused by yourself. Maybe you caused that isolation in this. But the reality is that depression sets in and we need peace. But we look for it in all the wrong places. We look for it in the worldly goods. We look for emotional health in things we can buy, things we can get, food we can put down our bellies, like eating pizza 2 days in a row. I don't see anything wrong with that sometimes. But don't we all have problems eating our feelings, right? We all have those moments that we're feeling something and somehow these worldly things bring us a sense of peace. But remember, it's not peace. Remember, peace is not the absence of all these things. It's the understanding that Jesus is the peace. See, you see, Jesus had to say this to the disciples before something happened. He had to say this right now, in this moment, because their world is about to get really hard. See, when they were traveling with Jesus, they knew that things were difficult at times. They had to run out of some towns. But they were about to get the greatest shock. Jesus soon would be arrested. His friend, their friend, is about to betray Jesus. The guards are going to come to the garden and take Jesus, and he's going to let them take him. And then he's going to be killed by his relation, his family, his towns, his people, the people he came to be the Messiah for. And all these things are going to happen. But he says, don't be troubled by the things of this world. I am the peace. But they're going to be without a teacher, without a guide. They're going to be struggling. You think you have anxiety? Think you have worries? Imagine those first century disciples being chased after Jesus was put to death. Imagine that. But they were told to put their trust in Jesus' peace now, so that when I'm not here, you will know it. The disciples need to know that nothing was going to be out of the control of God. That's the same thing we have to know. The message hasn't changed over all these years. We're in the 21st century, and the message is the same. Nothing is out of God's control. that even though you're worried, even though you're anxious, even though you're depressed, God's got this. Are you finding your peace in Him or in your circumstances? Are you finding peace in your circumstances and your surrounding, or are you finding your peace in Him? See, everything that happened to Jesus, everything that happened to the disciples, everything that's happened to the world is in God's plan. It's in His will. It's in His way. And it's in His control. And let's look at why. Because we look at the next slide and it says, peace because God is sovereign. Peace because God is sovereign. See, what Jesus says is very true. Only He can give peace. Why? Because God is in control of all things, not some things. And yes, I know some of you think, definitely not my situation. He hasn't answered any of my prayers. But God's in control of it. God knows what your problems are. And God resolves it in His timing. God is in control of all things. God can handle the whole universe. I'm fairly certain He can handle your problem. If God can handle this whole universe, He can handle your problem. I promise you this. Because if He can't, if He can, He would not be God. He is the God that can handle the whole universe and your little issue. He is the God of the universe. But there's no guarantee of your earthly, worldly type peace. That, you know, good feeling, that nice feeling about you, that you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. There is no guarantee in that. Because if we believe that God is sovereign, then we have nothing to fear. Unfortunately, we all still fear, right? We all have some fear of some kind. Sometimes our fears drive us to make poor decisions. We all have human fears. That's because we fail to trust God in those moments that He is our peace. We fail to trust that He is the God of the universe. We fail to trust that He's going to answer our prayers and His timing. So we let fear take over our decision process. We let fear take over our minds. We let fear take over our bodies. In those moments, in those times, in those realities. It would be so nice if we could just plan a future and everything go as planned. Everything is perfect. Everything is awesome. You just tick it off like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And everything just works out. And everything is great. And everything is perfect. Wouldn't that be amazing? And some of you, it may have happened. You may have ended up exactly where you had planned. Awesome. But for most of us, God throws some roadblocks up. God opens some different doors, some different windows, some opportunities elsewhere, and things change from the original plan you had. But that doesn't mean that God isn't in control. It means that we're listening to His will. We're following His guidance. We're being encouraged by Him. Because there is only one in control, and He is the one not only in control of your life, but also in control of the peace that you have. But you have to be willing to understand where that peace comes from, where that peace is reality. See, there's a great Christian slogan or phrase that comes out in the world. It's the LGLG. See, we have acronyms too. Let go and let God. We all love this phrase, but we also hate this phrase. This phrase usually comes up when we're going through something really difficult and just let go and let God. What a difficult thing to hear, but it is the truth. Because God is in control. We need to lay our burdens at the feet of Jesus. We need to lay those worries there. We need to lay those fears there and understand our peace comes from Him sheltering our burdens. I was listening this week to some sermons about peace, and it just kind of, there was a story that came out in it. And in one, it was talking about a black box and a golden box. And I don't have no idea. I can't remember where this came from. A black box and a golden box. I just want to give full acknowledgement of that. And so in this black box, you're supposed to put all your worries, okay? In this golden box, you're supposed to put all your blessings, all your encouragements, all those good, neat notes, those things that make you happy and warm and fuzzy. Well, then one day, the person looked at the black box and realized there was a hole in the bottom. It just was so light, but the golden box kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier. So God said, well, it's not about you carrying your burdens. I'll carry that for you. Just remember the blessings. See, the blessings point you to peace. The blessings point you to understanding. You can carry that all day long. If that's a heavy weight, great. I did my job. You trust me. See, those burdens that you carry around are not yours to carry. Christ has clearly said that he will carry the burdens. There's no reason to fear anything. Don't let the worries of this world control you. Don't let that happen. Because in the black box, when we put all those worries and stresses, we try to carry it. We try to plug that hole, carry our burdens around. See, that means we're letting our circumstances dictate our lives. I tell you what, you'll spend so much time trying to carry that burden around that you will forget all about these treasures that God has blessed in your life. You ever met that one person? I'm gonna use the word Nancy because I don't think we have anybody in our congregation named Nancy. Negative Nancy. You know, she has no good in her life. Nothing good. Everything's bad. Every time you run into her, it's like, woe is me. Life is so terrible. I can't wait to go to church on Sunday. Jesus loves me. See, but all she can think about is the negative stuff in her life. Completely forgets the reality of the blessings that God gives us, even through the simple things. You know, most of us are blessed to have children in our lives. What an amazing blessing. So even if nothing ever good happens, if you don't have the most successful job, if you don't have the best car, if you don't have the best house, who cares? In the moments that you can think about your children, what a blessing. Even if nothing else, that you have that reminder, that peace that we need from him. And that is reminded to us, that is given to us in that reminder of peace that he brings in our life through blessings. And the next slide is this: peace equals giving him our burdens. The truth, the reality, the stress that we put ourselves in, the stress and depression and just the burden, the anxiety inside of us, because we're so worried about our burdens. We're so worried about what we did or didn't do. We're so worried about those burdens that we have to let them go. We have to let go and let God. Not easy, friends. And I mean that. I mean like the LGLG, terrible acronym. I hate it. Because let go and let God. No, I want to fix this. I got this. I'm going to be the author of my peace, even though I know and trust Jesus. We're all guilty of that. We're all guilty of standing here on Sunday morning and saying, yes, Emmanuel. Lugging that burden box around. Because we put duct tape on the bottom. You know how duct tape holds. A few zip ties, duct tape, good. Holding my burdens in there. No issues. Carrying around. It's heavy. It's burdensome. It weighs us down. We can't stand it. But we don't trust God enough to give it to him. On Sunday morning, we come in. Sometimes we leave it at the door just so nobody sees our burdens. Then we start standing upright. We're like, I'm good, guys. Everything's great. I know the peace of Jesus. I'm so glad to be here on Sunday morning. And on our way out, we make sure we pick that box right back up. We walk out. Because we come in singing about peace. We love Jesus. We want him in our lives. We give everything to him. We might even fill out a prayer card and say, yes, I give all my burdens to him. But we can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves. Now, Paul had some good advice on there. If you want to turn to Philippians 4:6-7 in Philippians, Paul had some really good advice on this. I'd say it's probably something you should underline in your Bible if you really are into that kind of thing. Philippians 4:6-7 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." He is the one who can hold our burdens. He is the one we can give our burdens. He is the one we can trust with our burdens. We don't need them. They don't do anything for us. Now, I am of the persuasion to have this belief that, you know, the difficult things I've been through in my life have made me stronger today. True. But I can't sit and dwell on all the hard things I went through to get here today. I have to trust that he did work, good work in all those things to get me to where I am today. See, there's a difference. I can think and rest in the assurance that I did so much and went through so many hard things. Or I can trust that he guided me through it. See the difference? Big difference in where my peace rests, where your peace should rest. We present our requests to God. We trust him with them. We know that he's worthy. So I'm going to read that verse one more time because I want you to have two understandings here. There's a verse 6 and there's a verse 7. You must do verse 6 first. Let's read that again. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So if you do verse 6, and only if you do verse 6, then only can we have verse 7, which is this, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. See, do verse 6, then you can have verse 7. A lot of times our burdens crowds out the importance of his peace. Let's move on to the next slide here. Peace is a gift. Peace is a gift. It's not something you have to earn. It's not something you have to go do a bunch for. It's not the Max Lucado parable in his book about how the brother went and started putting boulders up in the river and tried to get back up river. He had to do so much work to get there. It's a gift. He gives you the peace. You don't have to do anything to earn it. The very real thing of what it meant for the disciples to understand this. We've seen this very real thing play out in Acts. We've seen that the peace of Jesus that was in them and on them allowed them to do miraculous things, be bold in their speech about what sin is and turn their life to Jesus. You see, the Acts is so cluttered full of amazing things about what the disciples did because they had the peace of Jesus in them and on them. They preached the gospel greater and greater and greater and greater. Even though they faced persecution, they continued to preach the gospel. That's peace. They had every reason to be worried, anxious, and even depressed. But they did not let that overcome them. His peace. His peace. Listen to the Acts stories again. Read them again. Understand that his peace is not the absence of trouble. That's what we all look for. That's what we all want. We want the absence of trouble. That is not peace. Jesus was completely at peace when and because he knew that God the Father was with him. Jesus was at peace because he knew his Father was in control. He knew his Father would take care of him. He knew his Father was always right. He knew his Father could be trusted. Jesus says to his disciples that he is giving them the same peace. If we just look at Jesus' life and the way he lived it, perfect understanding, perfect reality of peace. Shocking that we're saying, just look at Jesus. That's how you live your life. You want to understand peace? Look to Jesus. The answer is Sunday school answer, Jesus. What's the answer? Jesus, right? We look to him as an example of peace. It is the reality that he offers us. But in this next slide, you'll see this. Whatever the difficulties, whatever the difficulties, we can still have that same peace that Jesus experienced. Peace is not something we muster up. It has nothing to do with you. Peace has everything to do with what he has done and what he has given to you. So as we try to understand this sermon, we wrap it up real cute. Peace, because God is sovereign. Peace equals giving him your burdens. And peace is a gift. Many of our fears, worries, sound much larger and frightening than they really are. Life is difficult. Hard times are going to come. But we need not to have a life living in fear, anxiety, depression, loneliness, fill in the blank. If we just put our trust in him and have his peace, we can have peace that can only come because Jesus is the peace of the world. And we go into our wrap-up time. I want to reiterate this verse of today in John 14, 25 through 27. I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. Peace I give you, my peace I leave you. Isn't that an amazing testimony that someone can have? Jesus gave me the peace, and I have peace. That's not easy. The world tries really hard to make it to where we don't even want peace sometimes. Because sometimes the worldly stuff is easier than the real reality of just Jesus' peace and being grateful and thankful. But peace is what God can speak into those very tough moments. It's called truth. I mean, I know we all hate that word. Those truth that he speaks into our lives, that he speaks in these moments, that truth that he gives us, that brings you peace. When you look at scripture, and you read your Bibles, you seek to understand your Bibles, that truth will impact your heart, your mind. That truth that you hear will wash over you. That truth that you hear and understand will give you the peace and understanding you need in Jesus Christ. If you're seeking that feeling of peace this season, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek truth. I want you to understand that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he is the Prince of Peace. My last question for you, I guess, right before we wrap up here. Are you resting in your own understanding and ability over God's peace? Are you seeking worldly quiet places as a substitute to his peace? In this season, I hope that this message was a reminder for you that whatever situation you walk into this week, whether it's already joyful and you're already excited or you're so stressed out about even going, may you have his peace wash over you because his truths are real. It is a gift. It is not something you earn. And I close this 7-week series out with this final slide. Remember whose you are. You are seen, you are known, and you are his. Let's close out this message time in prayer, and then we'll bring the kiddos in for our final little children's program moment. Father, we are so grateful for the understandings you give us, for the encouragement in our hearts and our minds. Father, I'm so thankful for all that you do for us. Father, may you receive all the glory and honor, all that you do in our lives. May we walk and talk as you ask us. May we lay our burdens at your feet. May our worry, may our stress, may our anxiety, may our depression, may our loneliness, may you cover all those things in our lives, and may you bring us peace. Father, we are grateful for you. We are grateful to be seen, grateful to be known, and thankful to be yours. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen.